Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Faith and Pay Real Talk. I'm Taylor Patterson of Faith and Pay Real Talk. And guess what? This here program is sponsored by Pay Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. Yes, it is, y'all. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, not in quicksand, but on solid foundation, and a vehicle, maybe a horse and buggy, to drive your goals, like what, this?
Like a Mack.
Keep going.
I don't know if
going.
I should say a Mack truck, or a horse-drawn buggy through ice cream.
Like a
12
horse-drawn dredge through some kind of finagled frozen ice stick. I don't know. But now, after all of that, check us out at peoplebemuscle.com. And let's talk, y'all. Hey, howdy.
At first I thought we were in Australia again, but then I realized quickly that Australians don't sound like cowboys. I couldn't quite place that accent for a second. But anyway, so I guess we're out with Crikey, and I'll say howdy, y'all. How are you doing today, Kaylin?
I'm doing fine there, sugar. And I tell you what, I'm about to go out here and rustle up some weights and lift them and maybe get a bench press on. I don't know.
But you're going to do that in some chaps and some cowboy boots?
Hey, I'll be getting ready for Macro Foster's big deal, you know?
Yes, I know. And if you guys, we still haven't posted anything about that. Our bad. But the white party is coming up in July. We've got to get you that info because Kaylin's going to be there in white spandex. And I would not want any of you to miss out on that experience. Yes,
don't
if you can be there in person, you're going to want to be. You are going to want to be. So, oh, my goodness. Kaylin, great guest tonight. Why don't you rustle up some description on that for us?
Well, look here, darling. I already gathered some info on this. And this here youngin', well, she's been through quite a bit, y'all. I tell you what. And I think, maybe, that if she went through any more stuff, she'd probably bring down all of Pecos Bill, Paul Bunyan, and all them other fairy tales because she had a heck of a reality life. You know? I'm talking about this sweet child right here. She's been doing all kind of straight stuff. But she's been doing it and getting better. And I'm very proud of her. I'm very heartfelt with all the work she's put in. And I tell you what, she's downright ripe and tender for anybody that wants to work hard. She's a good example. So, Amir, say howdy, and we'll get this show started.
Howdy. I can't even do it. I tried to follow suit. It didn't work.
I know. It's hard. It's hard. So, Amira, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
My name is Amira Spielman. I'm 35 years old. I'm an NGA natural bodybuilding competitor. And I just competed this past weekend at the NGA Heart of America in Peoria, Illinois, and ran into our good friend Kaylin. He wanted me to come and share my story about battling cancer and coming back to do a competition. So here we are. It's been a long journey, but it was definitely worth, you know, the wait to get back on stage.
All right. So, cancer survivor, let's kind of take a step back and just start at the beginning. And, you know, Amira's rolling along, living her happy life. And then you know, something happens and you feel like you need to get it checked out, kind of bring us into your story about that point.
Sure. So the last competition I did actually was the 2014 NGA Heart of America. That was May of 2014. And I told myself that after that competition, I was going to just focus on, you know, putting on some more adequate weight, because I felt like I came in a little underweight and I wanted to put on more muscle mass. So I started kind of changing around my diet and training differently and, you know, gathering more information from other professionals as to what I can do to improve myself. And that, so that was in 2014. Just as I thought that I was improving myself, I started feeling things that weren't normal. I started losing weight when I should be gaining weight. And I started questioning, well, maybe my nutrition wasn't on point. Maybe my workouts were too extreme. You know, maybe. Or, you know, what am I doing wrong? I couldn't really put a finger on it because I felt as though everything that I was told to do, I was doing to improve myself. So fast forward that following spring, April of 2015, was when I went to my physician and finally, you know, finally just swallowed my pride and said, hey, something doesn't feel right. I had gotten to a physical in over a year at that time because, you know, we bodybuilders, we sort of have an ego. We tend to think we're just unbreakable and we're healthy all the time. You know,
yeah.
There are things that, you know, that we think we can control, even, you know, like, even illnesses, even though, you know, we just can't swallow our pride to just go to the doctor and get it checked out. So I finally did, and I was told to come back for follow-up. And after, you know, running several tests, about a month later, we had come to the conclusion that I had this illness. So, so to make a long story short, that answered a lot of questions because I was thinking, you know, well, what could I be doing wrong, you know? And so we started treatment right away. But at that time, here I am trying to put on weight, and my weight was drastically just diminishing. At the end of my competition, April 2014, I was about 109 pounds, which is typically my stage weight. By August of 2015, I got down to about 95 pounds. So I had dropped a good, you know, 14 pounds, which when you're 5 feet tall and you're shrimpy already, you know, that's a lot of weight. It's like losing a leg. So that was pretty hard for me, especially since, you know, I'm a huge advocate of weight training and eating healthy and, you know, and building muscle and, you know, just all that encompasses, you know, bodybuilding athlete, you know, I did not have a grasp on. So, you know, that was very mentally draining. That was very physically stressful. And my thought was, how do I recover from this, you know, or do I just accept the fact that I'm going to be, you know, like this for a while, forever? I don't know. I didn't know what, how my body was going to react back to reality after medications, after treatment, after, you know, going through the drastic changes it did. So, but that's kind of the beauty of the sport. You know, there's a lot of people that do the sport for their own individual reasons, and mine is the science behind it. You know, I graduated with a degree in exercise science, and I loved seeing my body change throughout the years. I started competing in 2002, and I liked how different I can, you know, how my body changed from, you know, from when I was 20 to when I was 25, from when I was 26 and pregnant with my first daughter, from when I was, you know, 207 pounds, you know, after giving birth to my first daughter and cutting back down to my original weight, which is about like, you know, 105, 110. So I love the science behind what you can do to get the body that you want. So in 2016, January 2016, I told myself, I don't care how long it'll take. I'm going to put this weight back on. I'm going to practice what I preach and try to be patient. And you hear this all the time, as cliche as it sounds, you trust the process. You trust the process. And so that's all
mm-hmm.
I did.
Yes.
You know, I just did my best, gave God the rest, and just trusted the process. So
love it.
In the beginning of January 2016, my official weigh-in was about, at that point I had put on some weight back. That was about 102 pounds. That was the beginning
wow.
of January 2016. And I vowed all year to put it back on.
Okay, so if I can jump in here real quick before we get too far down this road, because we've got several listener questions that have come in, and they pertain to the first part of your story here, and then we want to hear the rest of the story in just a second. But so, and you already answered one of our questions. Sarah wanted to know how you were diagnosed, and you covered that very well. Bill wants to know, how did your family handle the news? Were they supportive? Were they in denial? Or, you know, what was the, I guess, reaction when you shared with them what was going on?
Not very many members of my immediate family even knew that I had it until afterwards.
Okay.
Because I'm Filipino, and in a lot of Asian cultures, bodybuilding alone isn't a very embraced sport. So a lot of my family members don't really support this lifestyle. And so at that time, I didn't want them to think that that had anything to do with my diagnosis. That, well, maybe, you
mm-hmm.
know, because it gets criticized a lot. I mean, you can ask any Asian bodybuilders how families react to when you get sick, or, you know, when you lose a competition, or, you know, they're very judgmental and very critical. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that's how all of my family is, but I was just trying to avoid any and all explanation as to why,
sure.
you know? So yeah, my family here in the U.S., my family here in Illinois, where I live, they're very supportive. I had some, you know, some close friends, you know, if I may mention, her name is Nikki D'Angelo. She's actually part of the P4P family too. She was one of the first people I told, and she saw my journey. She saw from when I started out, you know, at 110 and down, and dwindled down to almost 95 pounds. She saw the whole process. She had taken me to some of my treatments, because I would just be so weak to even drive to the nearest Starbucks. So she was my family. She getting emotional talking about it. She was my rock, you know, throughout the whole thing. So, yeah, people were, I mean, you know, I try not to pull that card to, you know, to kind of get, you know, that sympathy party. I had, you know, I always stuck my chin out, and I always went about my day like I always did, like everything is normal, and, you know, and just stayed strong throughout the process. That's the only thing you can do. It's the only thing you have left, you know, after everything kind of gets stripped away from you, is just your faith and your strength to move forward. And when you have the support of family and friends, it sure as heck makes it bearable and easier. So.
I bet.
Yeah,
I mean, because it's just a tremendous. Go ahead, Kaylin.
What I was going to say is I can vouch for that. When I saw Amira, and she had relayed that news to me, I was shocked because she was just so at ease. I don't want to say, you know, like calm, but, you know, it was something that you could see she had taken hold of and accepted, where, you know, a lot of people are always wondering that, why me? She was still going about her day, and I was wondering, you know, is she joking, or, you know, is this some kind of sick humor? Because she was just so relaxed about it, and I was just amazed at how she was just handling the whole situation. So, you know, I could definitely vouch for that, but we'll get back to the question, but I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, thank you. And I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, it's such a tremendous change. I would imagine almost overwhelming to take in at the point when you learn. Linda's question is a perfect tie into that, of sorts of, you know, just really finding out what you're made of and how you're going to react to news like this. But she's wondering, after a competition, because you're just coming off of a competition, how much of a letdown was it to find out that you had cancer when you had, you know, these goals that you had already set your mind towards driving to?
I didn't really look at it as a letdown, to be honest. I kind of deferred, like, when I got off the phone with my physician after finding out the results, I kind of laughed and kind of giggled, actually, because, you know, at that time, I had just gone through my divorce with my ex-husband. And, you know, that's a whole other story. But that was, you know, that was a mess. And I was going through some self-reflection, like, why me? You know, why am I going through this? And then just a year before that, I was still mourning my godfather's passing, because my godfather is basically my dad. You know, he lived with us while my dad traveled a lot for work. And, you know, I was still going through that. And then here I am going, wow, what am I going to do? You know, I'm trying to finish my master's. I'm a single mom with two young kids. I had a, you know, at that time, let's see, I had a daughter who was 3 and my other daughter was 5. And I was living in Rockford, traveling to Addison, Illinois to go to school, which was like an hour drive, you know, an hour drive to Addison and then back, you know, 3-4 days out of the week. While trying to, you know, there was just a lot of things. It's like everybody thought my life was Jenga, where, you know, I would just keep taking on pieces and it would go on top of the other. And so I think people were banking on me to just tumble and fall apart. And so when I heard that news, I kind of giggled. It's like, ha, like, nice try, not going to happen. You know, like, to me, I thought that was just kind of like the world's, like, you know, here's another challenge. Let me see if I can throw this at your Jenga pieces and try to, like, make you fall. And I kind of, like, I was, you know, I'm kind of a nut, and you can ask Kaylin. I was like, bring it on. You know, I got this. Bring it on. Because I couldn't really look at it as a letdown. Because if I did, then that's just me giving up on me and giving up on, you know, not necessarily life, you know, but just giving up, be like, all right, like, what else can you throw at me? You know, so to me, it was like, it was a challenge, you know, it was going to be a difficult challenge. You know, I'm not going to pretend like it was that I was all happy and sunshine the whole time, but it was an opportunity for me to really test my faith and to really test how strong I can, you know, I can overcome these challenges. And so I'm not going to say I did it on my own. I don't think anybody should be going through, you know, what I went through alone. I definitely, like I said, I had a lot of support from friends and family, you know, not just my immediate friends and family, but my friends and family from the fitness industry, you know, because they understand, you know, what it's like to, you know, you know the feeling when you don't go to the gym for like 2-3 days, you feel sluggish, you know, let alone not going to the gym for 6-7 months, you know, so, you know, they understand. And, you know, whether it's, you know, encouraging words or whether it's just a, you know, small, you know, random act of kindness, like, you know, bringing me coffee to my house or, you know, bringing me lunch or dinner. I mean, those are the things that keep people going. It's that kind of love and support. And so I never really looked at it as a letdown. I looked at it as, you know, one day down, you know, however many more days to go. You know, it was always, I knew at the end, you know, it meant a healthier me. I knew at the end, you know, it's just another, you know, another hurdle to jump over. It's a really, really, really big hurdle, but, you know, it's just another hurdle to jump over. But I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it on my own. I was going to need the help of everybody around me. So, so yeah, I mean, I stayed in the scene. I went to all of my friends' competitions. I still traveled to Columbus, Ohio, where the following year when I went in remission was, you know, when I ran into Kaylin again and we reconnected. And, you know, it was just, you know, to me, I just call them God signs. You know, God kind of sends you all these little signs like it's going to be okay. You're going to, you know, I'm going to throw some people in your path. Okay. Like here's one, here's one, here's one. And, you know, do what you got to do with them. So, again, to answer that question, it wasn't a letdown. Was it a challenge? Was it a hard challenge? Of course it was. I mean, anybody who would go through this type of, you know, physical and mental and emotional changes due to an illness, you know, it's not easy, but it's definitely, you know, it's worth it in the end. You know, it's something to overcome, especially with, you know, support of, you know, the right people, your friends and your family, for sure.
For sure. Well, that's awesome that you had all those pieces there. I mean, that coupled with your attitude, I mean, it really, if there was a such thing as a winning recipe, I mean, I think that in this situation would have to be it.
Oh, my goodness. Perfect.
Yeah. So your kids, your daughters are pretty young at this point, so maybe too young to really understand what was going on, but Jasper, he and his wife just found out that she's suffering from breast cancer, and real quick, Jasper, hey, our prayers are with you, man, with you and your family, so, you know, sorry to hear of the news of your wife, but they're trying to figure out how they're going to break the news to their children, and he's interested if you did share with your girls how you went about doing that.
Well, I never, you know, my kids were too young to really understand what was going on, because there were certain foods that I was staying away from per request of, because I went and also sought a naturopath just to, you know, enhance the effectiveness of, you know, the medications and the therapies and the treatments, because I truly believe that, you know, not all medicine will work, you know, but, and, you know, not that I'm saying that,
I agree
you know,
with you there.
Stay away from medicine, but, you know, I continued to go to the gym, I continued to get healthy, and I continued to do what I can that I could do in my power. But from the standpoint of telling the kids, you know, I mean, the children knew that I was sick. They just didn't know how long I was sick. Let's see. I think Joey, my oldest, I think she was about six at that time. And, you know, when I told her that, you know, mommy just doesn't feel really well, it might, you know, it might be a while before I feel better, but there's just certain foods I can't eat. And so I would just remind her that, you know, mommy can't have that because she's sick, you know, like, you know, but I'll feel better in a little bit. But I always, like, reassure her that I would feel better in the end, you know, like, like she would, sometimes she would remember, you know, oh, that's right, you know, you can't have this, but, anytime, you know, any day now, right, mom, or something like that, you know, she's like, any day now, because I would always reassure her that in the end I would feel better, you know, and so... Mm-hmm. I really wouldn't know how to, I mean, I don't know how old Jasper's kids are, but I, you know, if they're a little bit more mature, I think they'd be able to handle the news better, I think. It just depends on, you know, the situation, like as far as when's the best time to tell them. I think the mood has to be really, really light and positive. You know, and having other family members around would probably help, just to kind of alleviate, you know, any tension. I mean, it's never easy news to tell, you know, family, you know, let alone, you know, young kids. So, but good luck to you, Jasper, and your wife, and God bless you guys, and prayers are, you know, definitely coming your way.
Yeah, amen to that. Amen to that for sure. And, you know, some of your comments that you just shared, especially about having certain foods that you couldn't eat and seeking out a naturopath, really dovetail into our next question, because Jill is interested in how your diet did change once you learned, you know, once you were diagnosed and started treatment.
There is a... Oh my gosh, I'm gonna forget the name of this company, but there are several out there that does food sensitivity diagnostics, and naturopaths live by these because our bodies change all the time. Everybody knows this. You know, you could have been growing up drinking all the milk you want, and then by the time you're, you know, 29, you're lactose intolerant. You know, or all of a sudden you develop an allergy to shellfish, and you're like, dang it, why? You know, I love fish, you know? Like, so we always have to be in tune with our body, and that's what a lot of naturopaths want to hone on when it comes to nutrition, because our bodies always react to certain foods a certain way. So, so for example, you know, there's a difference between a food sensitivity and an allergy. You know, most of the time people are born with allergies where it's a histamine response. A food sensitivity is some sort of, it's an immune response. So basically, if we eat something and our bodies either lack the enzyme to break down its proteins or break down its fats, our bodies react by sending out an immune response by, you know, either by way of water. So we either get really puffy or gassy or, you know, bloated, you know, like things like that because of the food that we eat. Or it can even, you know, manifest itself into what looks like an allergic reaction, like a rash or, you know, or itchiness or, you know, just any of those immune responses. So, and again, what I ended up doing was I did a food sensitivity test that covered about 85% of what we already eat on the daily. And that can be, you know, and it's a simple blood test, and it takes about 2 weeks for your results to come in. And basically, it gives you a level of your immune response. So they would highlight certain food groups, in the yellow, if it's a low response, a green if it's a moderate response, pink if it's a high response, and red meaning you're borderline allergic to it. So out of the 85% of the foods that I ate, there were probably 5 or 6 items that were considered in the pink and the red, and a lot of it was seafood, which was a bummer for me because. Because it's funny, because the year that I competed for the NGA, I was on a strict pescatarian diet, which meant I ate nothing but seafood. So isn't that funny? Like, I ate nothing but seafood. I stayed away from farm animals. I didn't eat chicken, turkey, beef, pork. I stayed away from all the farm animals thinking, man, I'm going to look so hot and lean and sexy because I'm eating nothing but fish. And I ate the crap out of everything that was swimming. I ate tuna, I ate salmon, I ate halibut, I ate catfish, I ate tilapia, cod, walleye, you name it. I ate anything that was meat with no feet. And who would have thunk it that my body reacted in this way where it affected me negatively? You know, here I am thinking I'm eating so healthy. And it affected, I mean, who knows? I mean, I'm not saying there was a correlation, but it was just kind of funny how, like, my food sensitivity results just told me, look what you did. these were the foods that you were eating that you are not supposed to be eating. So that was rough. You know, I'm Filipino. I love my seafood. I love my shellfish. I love my shrimp. I love my lobster and crabs. And to not be able to eat any of those was quite the challenge. But I had to respect and understand the science because I respect science. You know, there's a reason why it's called science. So yes. I knew I had to stay away from those. So, you know, so fish fry Fridays were, they were out of the window. You know, couldn't do fish fry Fridays with my kids. So I had to reintroduce slowly, because I stayed away from it for so long, I had to reintroduce farm animals back to my diet, such as chicken and turkey and lean beef and, you know, pork and lamb. So, you know, but I knew I needed to do this for my health, so I just had to kind of just bite the bullet and I eat the farm animals, which is okay. but yeah, so no, when it comes to nutrition, and you do, you know, people do decide to go to a, you know, holistic doctor or naturopath, that's one of the first things they'll ask you to do, is because everybody is different. And, you know, I'm sure Kaylin can piggyback this, that a lot of bodybuilders, they tend to follow, you know, so-and-so's plan and another person's plan, another person's plan, just to kind of find their niche, you know, of what works for them, when in reality, theirs can be completely different, you know, without even knowing, because unless we know what we are sensitive to, how our bodies react to food, I mean, heck, even how our bodies react to stress, that's one of the things that people don't really take into consideration is hormones. Hormones are reactive, and we don't think about how to, you know, how to stabilize them and how to regulate them. We just think, you know, hey, here's a synthetic hormone we can take over the counter because I'm low in it. I'm just going to go ahead and take it. And we really shouldn't be doing that as a, you know, as a society, because we could actually do more, you know, do more danger than good. So I just tell people, when it comes to, you know, whether you're sick or you're healthy, find out what you're sensitive to and then adjust accordingly. And that's really all I did. You know, I didn't really do anything different other than I stayed away from my favorite foods on the planet, you know, and obviously it helped me get better. So to answer that question, you know, I still ate as much as I could, you know, because my body could only let me eat so much. But as far as diet changes go, that would probably be my only diet change, is that I stayed away from seafood, only because that was the result of my own personal food sensitivity test.
Yep. Which I think is awesome, and I think that's a great tip. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm going to go on a ledge here, that you really weren't eating fast food anyway, but Sarah wanted to know if it also meant cutting out fast food. So I'm going to assume that probably wasn't even a factor for you.
Right. No, I love to cook. You know, I actually wanted to go to culinary school when I was in high school. So nothing against fast food. I just love the art of cooking. Food just tastes so much better when you put your love into it. So, I still like fast food though. There are some fast food chains that I still go to from time to time. I don't know if you want to count it as fast food, but Starbucks is a weakness of mine. I don't know how many cups of Starbucks I get a day. That's kind of. It's an addiction. I mean, I'll be the first one to say that, you know, I will fully admit I probably get way too much caffeine in the day that I need. But I love Panera, I guess would be considered fast food, but they have some really good food. You know, they've gotten rid of their GMO products. They've gotten rid of, they only use, you know, organic ingredients now. So I think you just have to be smart about, you know, what is fast food to you. So,
yeah, sure. All right. Very good. So hopefully, Sarah, that answers your question. And then so we're going to have to fast forward to 2016 here in just a second. But last question before we do that, Billy wants to know how you dealt with the constant fatigue during your treatments.
Oh, gosh. Fatigue will come at the worst time possible. And it's not one of those where you wake up fatigued. I could wake up with like an energy of a scale of 1 to 10, like a 20. And it can drop at any given moment. Mine was always sometime at like in the afternoon, kind of like that, like when your sugar crashes between like 3 and 4 in the afternoon after, you know, I've watched, you know, episodes of Ellen or something. And where it feels like my sugar just crashes for no reason. And then it would last for probably a good few hours until I would, you know, refeed and just get moving. You know, and I'd always try to find the motivation, you know, at the gym, or try to get, you know, my girlfriend Nikki to, you know, come get me and take me to her studio, you know, and put me through a workout. You know, because we can still produce our own energy. You know, we can get energy through food, or we can produce it our own. And so, I mean, a body in motion will stay in motion. So to me, I knew if I was tired and I lay down, tired the rest of the day. And then to me, that's like, I just wasted a day. You know, I was so unproductive, and I could have done, you know, I could have at least finished, you know, two chapters for my homework or something. And I started like kind of, you know, getting at myself for not being productive. And so I always try to make sure that, you know, not beat yourself up when you're fatigued and just, you know, waste away the day. Find an outlet that works for you. And for me, it was the gym. Just like for a lot of people, the gym was always an outlet for me. Whether it's just to go there to find the motivation or to be the motivation, it was always an outlet for me. So I was just fortunate enough to have, you know, friends that would take me there, or, you know, friends that would invite me to be like, hey, you know, you've been home all day, let's get you out. So, like I said, it definitely helps to have the support of, you know, of a support system, your friends, your family, and heck, even your gym members, and even Facebook. Facebook was, you know, you have your Facebook community that, you know, kind of followed your journey, and just listening to other people's stories, how they got through it, that was always motivating for me too. So
wow.
I basically just kicked fatigue butt because I didn't want to let it, you know, ruin my day. So I'm like, I'm not tired. Get out of here. Use some coffee. So.
Oh my goodness. I love it. And actually, a lot of the listeners are in love too. I mean, you've really put some smiles because they did not expect this kind of show. So, oh my goodness. It's going so well. Thank you so much. It's just crazy. And the questions, I had no idea that we had so many people. Well, I guess we should, considering the diet and the way we eat in this country. But there's so many of our listeners that are dealing with cancer themselves, or basically family members with cancer. So I'm just overwhelmed by the people that are just reaching out to you with these questions, because these were I can't speak for Beth on this, but I know I sure didn't expect them to be coming this real, I guess, and this close to home.
Right. Well, I think, you know, you don't have to wait until there's an illness to find out, you know, what foods you're sensitive to, or you don't have to wait until there's an illness to really change your nutrition to improve yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the moral of every, you know, cancer survivor story is that don't take your health for granted. I mean,
yeah.
You may think that, you know, that you're doing your body good. If you can do anything else to, you know, to do it better, go do it, you know, and not really, you know, not really rely so much on what media says is good for you. You know, I mean, we've all seen it, you know, we've all seen the quick fixes. We've all seen the 5-second abs. We've all seen the, you know, the sprinkle the scent on your burger and you'll be fine. You know, it's we've all seen it. But in the end, you have to make a decision to, you know, make a permanent change, you know, in your nutrition if you want to acquire sustainable results. So don't wait.
That's right. Don't put it off. All right. So, speaking of not putting it off, we're kicking cancer in the butt, fatigue in the butt. It is now 2016. You're looking at yourself, 98 pounds. What's happening 20, next?
2016. Whew, that was rough. Not from the standpoint of, you know, because, you know, I'm finally in remission. I'm ready to put this weight back on. I can honestly say putting on weight is a lot harder than losing it, especially coming from where I was coming from. You know, so I had consulted with a lot of my friends that have been in the industry, you know, for over a decade, some even over two decades. And I've consulted with my physician that this is my plan. My plan was to get back on stage in 2017. That was the goal. And I knew it wasn't going to be easy because I knew it wasn't going to gain, 20 pounds in 2 months. I wanted to do it the natural way. Well, heck, I didn't know the natural way meant eating, steak every night, with, 2 tablespoons of butter and, a fist-sized, white potato with 9 giant stalks of asparagus. This is an every-night thing to the point that I hated steak. I was
Sounds
eating
like a
it every
dream.
Day. I know, right? I mean, people are like, be quiet, you get to eat steak every night? I'm like, yeah, but I'm also starting from this way, but I was eating so much that I actually fractured my back molar. Who the fuck are you can fracture your teeth eating steak every night? But I did. This girl did. And then ended up going to the dentist and getting that repaired because I couldn't chew on the back left side of my mouth, and I needed that to eat my darn steak. So I had to, so of course we go from one drastic, diet, that I had to follow, because of my issue, and then to this extreme diet to try to reach my goal. And so it definitely wasn't easy. There were nights that I would cry to my boyfriend because I'm like, I really just don't want to eat any more steak. And he's like, you have to, you need it. 2017 is right around the corner. I'm like, 2017 is like 9 months away. I can skip one night. So, but much like anything, consistency is key. So I knew I had to keep going, I have, my friends from my gym at LA Fitness in West Dundee, Illinois, that, it's always motivating when people start telling you something, much like with weight loss, when someone says, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. You look like you've lost some weight. Much like that, when someone says, oh, hey, you look like you're putting the weight back on. Of course, to me, that's like, yes, it's working. So, to me, consistency was key. I just kept going. Now, granted, I only gained maybe like a pound, like 1.2 to 1.4 pounds a month. But that's between fat and muscle. That was adequate weight that I was putting on. I knew that was weight that I had lost that I was putting on and then some. So I just kept going. I couldn't complain. I was healthy. I was given this second chance at, finding purpose. I was able to share my story and be able to motivate other people to keep going. And, where better place to do that than at the gym where other people have similar goals, So I would see people work out at the gym, and to me, I'm like, if she's been here for over an hour, I can finish off the last 15, 20 minutes of my workout. Or, gosh, I remember when that girl was, 30, 40 pounds overweight and she's still kicking it, I can finish the last 5 minutes of my cardio. I'd always try to find motivation in somebody else at the gym. So yeah, consistency was key. I started seeing the weight come on. And by the end of, the holidays definitely helped because we tend to peak out in the holidays anyways, but the end of November, which was just, about a week after Thanksgiving, my final weigh-in was about 124, 125, somewhere around there, and I was loving it. I was embracing the added curvatures. I was embracing, the added fluffiness, and I knew that my body was prime and it was ready for competition. So come January of this year, when I met up with my coach, I was officially at about like 124, 125, and the goal was to probably strip down, about 10 pounds of fat. That's what we were looking at because I was about like 17, 18% body fat. So, and typically when I'm on stage, I try to be between 10 and 12%. So we were looking at a good probably 10 pounds of fat and water. But it was obvious that I had put on some muscle as well. And so we just had to kind of play around with my diet so that I could retain, you know, a lot of that muscle that I put on, because, you know, I didn't want to lose it. You know, I worked 11 months to put it on. So I started my prep. Are we okay to move forward to 2017? Is that okay?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
So I started my prep officially the second or third week in January. And, you know, my body was reacting to the diet really well. I mean, it is true when you know, a lot of professionals, a lot of bodybuilders say that your body kind of picks up where it left off. It's so true, mm-hmm. because I thought that it was going to be hard for me, you know, because, well, I'm in my 30s now, you know, back in my 20s, you know, I can eat a burger and lose that burger in the next, you know, 3 hours, you know, but I was thinking to myself, gosh, it's, you know, the older we get, the slow, you know, our metabolism does, you know, get slower, but I didn't realize because I had imprinted this kind of muscle memory in my body decades ago, you know, that my body just really just picked up where it left off. I was like, oh, Amir's doing a bodybuilding competition. All right, gang, let's get this going. You know, so got on my diet and figured out what my macro count should be and what my workout split should be. And within the first 2-3 weeks, you know, I started seeing definition. I started seeing my energy increase. I started seeing, you know, the numbers on the scale come off a little bit, but not a lot because I wasn't really, you know, depending on it. But I started seeing, you know, muscles like lines and definition in my arms and my legs. By the probably 5th, 6th week of prep, I started seeing my abs come out, and I'm like, well, hello, haven't seen you in about 3-4 years. So, you know, and those things kind of self-motivate you, you know. You start, you know, because we as bodybuilders tend to be really critical of our own bodies. Let's face it, we are our own worst critics. We are our own worst critics. And
hyper-critical.
Yep. But every time, you know, I saw what I thought was bad, I would try to, you know, find something good in it. And so, you know, hey, I don't see my abs today, but hey, I'm down a pound, you know. So just kept going. And, you know, this time around I had some, you know, some really good, you know, friends that kind of pushed me through. One of them is a trainer at LA Fitness, and one of them is this guy that owns a supplement shop that, you know, kind of, where we played around with, you know, different supplements, different, you know, vitamins and minerals, and, you know, because I was trying to take a more, you know, natural path. But, yeah, my body just reacted really well to the diet. And the first time I hopped back on stage was April 22nd. That was after about 12 weeks of prep. And I weighed in. My weigh-in was about 109, 110. And although I didn't place, looking back at my 2014 picture, and I'm sure, Kaylin, you've seen, you know, the difference where I put like a side-by-side picture of my 2014
yes.
last competition and then my 2017 competition. And you, I mean, it's evident the muscle that I had put on. I wanted to focus on
yes.
upper body. And I did that. I wanted to build shoulders. I did that. I wanted to build more biceps. I did that. And I couldn't be, you know, more happy with the package I brought, you know. And then, like I said, to me, it wasn't about, you know, winning it. You know, I wasn't there to be like, yeah, I'm going to get first place. I was there because I set a goal. And my goal, and this was a goal that I had set, you know, over a year ago. And it was just to get back on stage because, you know, we all know that feeling when we're on stage. We're you know, it's like, it's a huge accomplishment. You know, in the sport of bodybuilding, once you're on stage, I always tell people, that's not bodybuilding anymore. That's body showing. Bodybuilding is the mm-hmm. journey from day one to when you put those heels on, you know, or to
yes.
when you put your Speedos on or whatever
yes.
it is that you wear on stage, you know.
Yeah, thank you.
That's just... Yeah, bodybuilding is the 16, 20 weeks, 24 weeks of work you put into what you're going to bring on stage. Once you're on stage, that's body showing. You know, this is, hey, this is what I accomplished. This is what I just, you know, this is what I've been working on for the past 16, 20 weeks. Enjoy it, you know. So to me, it was, you know, I couldn't be more, you know, more happy because I had my friends and family were, you know, in the audience to hear my daughters, you know, screaming, "Go, mommy!" That was like, that was it. That was like the, you know, like we did it. You know, it wasn't just me. We did it. Me and my daughters did it. You know, we got through the past, you know, almost 2 years of, you know, of trials and challenges. And now mommy's here and mommy's, you know, I want my kids to see the work that put into it, you know, because then that's going to teach them a lesson too, because I have daughters, you know, and mm-hmm. girls tend to kind of shy away from these types of challenges. And I wanted them to see, you know, I mean, both my kids are athletes. One's a gymnast and one's in MMA. That, you know, if this is just another life lesson, you know, just stay consistent with whatever your passion is, and it'll all pay off in the end. So yeah, so that was April 22nd, and then Mr. John Abraham from NGA had messaged me and said, "Oh my goodness, you look great at your show. You've got to do this show." And to me, I was like, "Well, dang, I really wanted to get back to my, you know, my normal foods, I guess, which, you know, from time to time could be, you know, bad food. But I really was just missing me some tacos and some tortillas.
Oh, here we go.
And quesadillas.
Here we go.
I was missing me some Mexican food, cookies. You know. And I was like, oh, you know, well, what's another 2 weeks? And so to me, I was like, that's just another 2 weeks to dial it in. And so the next 2 weeks from April 22nd to May 6th, I thought, you know, hey, if we're going to do this show, let's at least, you know, just hone in on certain areas of the body that I wanted to work on, and I did. And, you know, so fast forward to this past Saturday, me and the gal, I later found out that me and the gal that came in first place in the novice, we actually tried in the morning. Yeah, no, Caitlin, in novice, not open. In the novice,
okay.
Me and Caitlin, she had like the long blonde hair. We had found out that we had tied in prejudging, and had we known that we were going to get rejudged at the night show, we probably wouldn't have gone out and had that burger because we were on stage just sucking it in and just vacuuming the crap out of like our ribs and sticking our abs out, just hoping that that food baby doesn't make an appearance. So we were just like hold it in, girl, we got this. But you know, in the end, we both knew that we both worked hard to, you know, where we got, and we both supported each other, and it didn't matter who ended up winning.
Very well.
We both, you know, we both got there, you know, 16, 20 weeks later, we're both on stage and rocking it out. So, but it was kind of funny. I don't know if you saw on stage, but we were both just kind of giggling on stage, just
yes.
Holding our poses. So yeah, we were very happy for each other after finding out, you know, the actual breakdown. I think there was only like a 1 point margin in the end between
yes.
me and her. So, but overall, such a great show, and I love how Johnny Abraham always throws such a good show, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Great guy, great show, and just, I mean, and so Caitlin, you were there, so give us a little rundown of Amira, the stage, the show. I mean, what was your perspective on it all?
Well, first off, I got to talk about one of the competitors that was on stage with her was just so thankful to Amira because she was so supportive of her, and she had to remind herself that she was in competition with her. And I was just blown away by that she would share that, because, you know, she's like, I'm out there to win, and she's out there to win, but she's making sure I look my best as that happens. And, you know, that speaks volumes when they just have to add that, you know, in the conversation. And you love, you honestly, I cherish it. Well, you know how I feel about going to natural shows, because I just adore the camaraderie that happens. But, you know, just to hear those things about people you know, and they're not bluffing or selling wolf tickets. They're just saying, you know, these people are great, and this is what makes this time fun and shine. And the swords that they had were pretty sharp. You know, they were warning us ahead of time, do not play around with these things. They will cut you. So, you know, everybody was wanting a chance at it, and here's Amira basically making sure that she has good competition while she's doing her best. And that just amazes me to hear that, because, you know, not everyone is that forgiving, even in a show that's full of camaraderie and full of love. But, you know, a lot of people are single-minded, and, you know, they don't give credit to anybody. But this lady was so just taken aback that she was getting that opportunity and given that chance by someone that's basically on stage right beside her. So she was just blown away by that. And the food baby I joked about, not during that, but I just thought it was so funny because the giggling, anybody that competes knew what was going on, and the audience thought they were just really happy and having a great time, which they were, but we all knew they were trying to hide that baby.
Well, you know, when you get your refeed finally after, you know, 16 weeks and everybody looks forward to being able to eat after prejudging, you know, a warning would have been nice. Like, don't eat too much. We're rejudging you at night show. That would have been nice, but we didn't know that. So we, you know, obviously went and indulged. Not a lot, but, you know, enough to maybe put ourselves in a food coma for a few hours prior to the night show. But definitely wasn't long enough to fully digest. So we had to do a lot of vacuum manipulation there, and then, you know,
there
just
you
stick
go.
Your butt out and stick your chest out, just how you look.
Oh man! Well, you know, and just another valuable thing for our listeners to take in. So you just never know, folks. You just never know what's going to happen if it's not a continuous format show. So just keep that in mind. But if it does, like she says, vacuum it in, stick your butt out, and you just got to roll with it. You just have to roll. So I just want to thank you so much. I mean, I've just been thoroughly enjoying listening to your story and just, you know, your strength, your attitude, your energy. It just comes through in everything that you say. I mean, and you are truly more than a survivor. You are a thriver, if not to be corny, but, you know, you just...
I like that.
...an illness. Yeah, I mean, you embraced the situation for what it was, and you went after it. I mean, and you are totally thriving. I mean, I don't know if you're still in school or if you've graduated, but, I mean, you... And no, she's past surviving, Kaylin. There's no surviving here. She's a thriver.
I'm just trying to rhyme with this.
And you're trying. It's all right. You're with me. We got it. PIC, Team Awesome. I'm with you. But, I mean, it's just I've just been in love with the whole thing. I mean, I posted something on Facebook and it said, you know, it's important that you tell your story because someone out there needs to hear how you made it. Truly believe that's important for you, for me, for Kaylin, for all of our listeners out there. We're all going to face something at some point if you haven't yet. But when you do, you know, be willing to share your story just like you have tonight. So I just want to say thank you for all of that. We are about to wrap. Amira, I'll give you the floor. Any last minute thoughts you want to share with our listeners?
Shout out.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. I totally respect what you guys do as far as sharing people's stories when it comes to, you know, this type of journey. And keep doing what you're doing, and God bless you guys. You guys are great.
All right. Thank you so much. Kaylin, snickerdoodle?
Snickerdoodle is snickerfoodle.
So on behalf of Amira, myself, Kaylin, and the boys at P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With snickerdoodle.